He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, the Bears explained why they fired Matt Eberflus and they left Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren open for questioning. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Halas Intrigue. Jason, you and I are sitting here on a Monday afternoon at Halas Hall, where we just spoke with General Manager Ryan Poles, President CEO Kevin Warren, and Interim Head Coach Thomas Brown. The big takeaway for this, for me, is that Kevin Warren said Ryan Poles is sticking around as GM. He will be the point person on the hire, and he will have final say on it. Although Kevin Warren really would like this to not be only a Ryan Poles show. Didn't it feel that way to you?
Well, there's always what they say and then what actually happens. And Kevin Warren did say definitively that Ryan Poles gets final call. But he added that there's going to be collaboration and that, you know, he couldn't even imagine it coming to that because they'll see things the same way. And you remember in that moment when you're hearing him say that, that he is Ryan Poles' boss.
Yeah.
And that he will decide whether or not to fire Ryan Poles in 2026 or eventually or whatever. That will be his call exclusively, we think. Yeah, but the same thing, Pat, applies when you talk about George McCaskey, who was in the room for the press conferences today. But he is the only one who was in the room Friday morning deciding Matt Eberflus's future that didn't take questions about it, that didn't talk to the media about it. And George McCaskey has said from the jump, from the arrival of Kevin Warren, that Kevin Warren's running things, George is going to be hands-off. If he's still in those meetings and he's still Kevin Warren's boss and also Ryan Poles' boss by extension, he may say, and he may even say to them, it's up to them. But I think everybody knows you're not making decisions that your boss is going to be unhappy with.
Yeah. I mean, I think regardless of what you do, whether, you know, you work at a grocery store or you're a sports writer or you're a lawyer or whatever, you make decisions in the context of what you feel the people above you would back and would not back and would agree to and not agree to. And I think that that's going to be the case here. Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren explained some of their rationale in firing Matt Eberflus. It was nothing particularly new. They did explain the timing of it a little bit, and they stuck to kind of what they've said, you know, to what we experienced, I guess, on Friday, which was, well, yeah, he got hired early in the morning, but, you know.
Well, there were repetitive errors. This is a everyone will have their own timeline of when they first thought Matt Eberflus should have been fired. Mm-hmm. I would go back to last season for me and say the Cleveland game was when I was resolute in my own mind of not necessarily that this guy should be fired, but that a better option would be available than staying with Matt Eberflus. And that better option at toward the end of 2023 would have been an offensive-minded coach coming in at the same time with the new quarterback, which was basically already in the works before that season ended. So it wasn't like a surprise to the Bears of, oh, I guess, oh, we're bringing in Caleb Williams. Now, you could fast forward a little bit. You could be a little more of an optimist, and I think Ryan Poles was a little too optimistic about the way that the second half of the season went, where the defense was better, and they did go 5-3 in the final eight, but I would caution you that 5-3 is not that great.
Three of those five teams drafted ahead of the Bears at number nine.
I would tell you that 5-3 in an eight-game stretch is not anything to, you know, hold up as a trophy, and that I think they beat one winning team out of those five. Only one had a winning record, and that two of the losses were epic collapses against the Lions and the Browns. So that's those aren't almost wins. Those are like major raising major questions about your head coach. But let's say you're optimistic. Let's say you want to believe, so you see what you want to see. Let's say, theoretically, Patrick, you feel like maybe you owe it to a guy who you put through a 3-14 season that was really not his fault.
Yeah.
That was really a 3-14 roster, and he Matt Eberflus got out of it what probably anybody would have gotten out of it. Even then, you get to this year, you have the body of work that raises questions at minimum over the first 2 years. You get to this year and you are hearing player complaints on the record publicly about the way your offensive coordinator is running things, which is really extremely reflective of how you're running things. There is not a lot of distance between that when you're the head coach. You're hearing that in September,
right?
And you are seeing problems play out on the field by the end of October with the Washington game, and then the fallout from that, and the just really, really flat performances that followed against the Cardinals and against the Patriots. And you have a chance after you lose to the Patriots. Are you 4-5?
Yep.
You have a chance at 4-5 to say, I've seen enough. I know that we will not be bringing this coach back in 2026 or 2025, rather, I should say. And this season is not dead yet. There's a place here to make a move and try to save the season. What matters most is the future and getting the right coach and getting Caleb Williams on track. But there was also a portion of this year where the season itself mattered and the idea of going for the playoffs mattered. That's over now. But it wasn't over at 4-5. And you can play the hypothetical game all you want, and Ryan Poles wouldn't today. But the critical bad decisions and disorganization that Matt Eberflus showed against the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions, it is reasonable to at least wonder whether someone more skilled in game management and thinking on their feet would have been making better decisions in those situations, and maybe the results are different.
Yeah.
Maybe you flip two of those to wins, and you're sitting here 6-6 with interim coach Thomas Brown, and the season's not over at 6-6.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's not over at 6-6. It is over at 4-8.
Well, and let's be clear, too, that when we talk about the season being over, let's say even if you're 6-6 with 5 to play, I mean, that is interesting, a lot more interesting on Sundays.
I want that
for all of us.
I want 6-6 with 5 games left and an ascending rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I want that shot.
Now, nobody is sitting here and saying that the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl either way. That if they're 6-6, they're still probably the worst team in their division. But at least they're playing important football games, which is something that Caleb Williams is going to need to learn how to do eventually if the Bears want to get where they want to go. With Caleb in particular, do you think Thomas Brown, who we talked to today and commanded the room the way we all presumed he would, do you think this runs a risk of hurting Caleb by taking Thomas Brown out of the booth, putting him down on the field, giving him extra responsibilities during the week? I mean, Brown even joked today that, man, he wanted to become the first head coach ever to just stay in that booth. do you think that this will hurt Caleb?
I think that your first way of phrasing it was, does it risk it? And I would say absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to play out, and that's a big thing that Thomas Brown has to show to go from what he is right now, which is a rising star in his field who has not gotten the head coaching shot yet, and in my mind wouldn't be in the top 2 or 3 candidates as of today,
mm-hmm.
before he has coached his first game as interim coach, but could put himself there over the final 5 games by showing, not only can I continue the good work I have already done with Caleb Williams, but I can handle all this other stuff too. I am not just an offensive coordinator. I'm not just a quarterback whisperer. I know when to go for it on fourth down. I know how to interject. He did say he was going to be pretty hands-off with the defense, but that's part of the job too. So we'll see, you know, if he's got the ability to interject and redirect things defensively when necessary. We'll see if that ends up being necessary. We may not know exactly how that takes place. That might be something that happens on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in a given week, and then, you know, on game day, Eric Washington is still the guy calling all the plays. But Thomas Brown has done a great job the last 3 weeks with Caleb Williams. He's got Caleb Williams going the right way. That's awesome. If that's the limit of what he can do, then he is just an offensive coordinator. We just had this happen.
Right.
Matt Eberflus called a pretty good defense when he was the defensive play caller.
Correct.
Even this year where you saw some problems, the numbers looked pretty good for the defense that he was pulling the strings on. He was not capable of doing all the other stuff. That was too big of a job for him. You saw it come up repeatedly in 3 years. That's where Thomas Brown has to show he can do more than this. That's why, Pat, it's a great move for the Bears, as much as I would not have done it.
Same.
I would not have tinkered in the least. I would look at the wobbling Jenga tower of the rookie quarterback and not pull any blocks out of it. I would leave it exactly the way it is. It's fragile. It's going well right now. That is the number one determinant of your future. I wouldn't have touched it. But from the Bears' perspective of trying to evaluate Thomas Brown as a possible head coach, it's a great move because all of the things you would ask him in an interview, you're going to basically hook him up to a lie detector over the next 5 weeks. You'll see it. He'll have to make those decisions in real life, for real life. And
it's a good Bluey reference.
And you're going to see it on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, it will play out. You will find out, probably, would he do something like Matt Eberflus did that cost him his job? There will probably be a game that comes down to that, and you'll see what Thomas Brown can do.
Who do you think has final decision on who they hire?
George.
Okay.
George owns the team.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to hire somebody that George doesn't like?
No. No,
let's,
I don't.
Let's say this is all hypothetical. There's no reporting in this. This is pure hypothetical. Let's say that they wanted to bring in Mike McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
A guy like that. And that doesn't seem to me at all like the kind of coach George would be on board with.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're like, George, we know you got all these hang-ups about this guy, but we're getting him anyway. Please don't fire us.
Right.
I don't think so.
Tell me, how do you think Ryan Poles looked today? To me, he looked like somebody who was talking next to his boss.
He did. Yeah, he did. I don't think we've seen that appearance from him
before. We haven't seen that power dynamic before, probably.
Part of it is Kevin Warren's been in charge less than 2 years. He's been in his job less than 2 years. And you can look across the building. We're at House Hall however many days a week, however many months a year. You can look across the building, and you could look across the building during the Kevin Warren tenure and see very, very little change the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of change.
Yep.
As soon as he hit about the year mark. So it was very clear he was kind of taking notes, just observing, making plans for what he thought should be fixed. And so you didn't really see Ryan Poles in this situation. Also, Pat, I believe this is the first time that Ryan Poles has been out in front of the media with Kevin Warren discussing something, you know, really bad.
Yep. Yeah.
I think when he's been out here addressing things like Alan Williams or David Walker, it has been by himself, and really any other appearances that he's had, if you, you know, kings of the offseason, but like the Bears, everything was going great for the Bears in the offseason. That's one of the reasons why Matt Eberflus did better speaking publicly in the offseason, was because it was pretty easy when everybody thought this was great.
Right.
And then you get the games and it changes. So he's out there, Ryan Poles, defending, and not defending, but taking questions on and dealing with the fallout from the decisions that he made of hiring Matt Eberflus in the first place, bringing him back after the 2023 season, sticking with him as deep into the 2024 season as he did.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those are bad decisions that had bad outcomes. And he's having to explain those to everybody, to very aggressive and sharp questions right in front of his boss.
Is this press conference that we went through today fundamentally different than what we would go through with Ted and George?
It's not different than anything with the Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that rings in my ears is Kevin Warren saying, one day we'll look back at this day. What is today? December 2nd, 2024, as the day when everything changed, basically. I'm paraphrasing. But the day when the Bears were set on the course to football glory. And I think I've heard that. I grew up here. I think I've heard that a lot in the last 40 years. And also, you've been here for a while. Why not, you know, why didn't you choose to have that day back in January of this year?
Well, that's the other thing. Let's
have that big, epic, game-changing day before all this happens.
And usually you say that about hiring a guy, not about firing a guy, too. And, you know, for them to say, boy, this is going to be a turning point, two of, you know, in that room, you know, were Poles, Kevin Warren and George McCaskey, the three most powerful people in this building. You know, what's the meme, Jason, with the guy who says, if only somebody would do something about this? You know this one?
I don't.
If only somebody would find the people who did this. Like, yeah. The people who did this were in the room. The people who did this decided to throw their support behind Matt Eberflus.
Boy, if that isn't the consequences of my own actions.
Right, exactly. It's, yeah.
Can I go back with something? To, like, do you agree with me when we, if we're going to look backward a little bit?
Okay.
And then let's move off this and go forward.
Okay.
With Thomas Brown and Caleb Williams and what's coming in the coaching search. But if we want to look back, I mean, do you agree just as a premise that those are kind of the three decision points for polls on Eberflus, that it's hiring him in the first place, it's bringing him back after 2023, and then it's at whatever point you're making that decision this year, which you see in season he decides to do it.
Right.
That's the three points. If I had told you going into this season, hey, that 105-year policy on not firing a coach in season doesn't apply anymore. They're not sticking to that anymore. That's off the table. No one is no coach now from here forward will be guaranteed a full, complete season with the Bears. It can happen at any time. If you had known that all along, at what point would you have said in this season, let's just say would 2022 hiring him at Eberflus and 2023 bringing him back, it's already done. At what point in this season would you say, that's the time? That's the time when it needs to be done.
Either after the Packers game or after the Vikings game. And here's why. It's because I would have felt uncomfortable making a change with Caleb doing as poorly as he was doing. And then granted, that was part of it, and that was a Shane Waldron issue. But, you know, you give Thomas Brown a chance to put Caleb back up on his feet. And Caleb's doing the thing that you've wanted Caleb to do all year, and Caleb is the best thing about this team right now. And then, you know, you find out that the outcomes on Sundays are still the same. That's probably when I would have done it. I mean, the field goal block against the Packers after not trying to gain more yardage, that seems like a good opportunity to do it. But it's still, even then, it's after only one game with Thomas Brown. And then, you know, after the Vikings game, you've got four games to get ready for the Lions. So maybe this hypothetical's a little easier said than done. But, I mean, for me, I thought that he was officially toast once he fired Shane Waldron. Then things got better immediately. That was kind of I know it's incongruent, but I think when things got better right away when he fired Waldron, that actually hurt him.
Yeah, because it was, why didn't this happen sooner? Thomas Brown is coming in and making basic, obvious changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, weren't you Shane Waldron's boss? Couldn't you have told him to do this at any time? Yes, right. He could have. We're kind of on the same timeline there as far as when you knew he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference for me, and this was a factor in them deciding to fire him in season, is for me, once it is decided in your mind, once it is clear that he's gone eventually, mm-hmm. it needs to be done immediately. There is no sense in delaying the necessary. And just so you guys know, when you listen to this, you know, we cover the team. We're here every day. We write opinion columns about the team, but we try to make those very reasonable, rational, fact-based opinions. It is a high threshold for me, and I assume you and anyone else that does this job seriously, there's a high threshold for saying that it's time to fire the coach.
Yeah.
You don't just pull the pin on that. Fans will yell that, and I mean no disrespect by this because I totally understand the whiplash and the emotions of Bears fans. Fans will yell that at any given time. Fire everybody. Every loss, basically. You'll hear somebody. Yeah. I will hear someone in my family say fire everybody.
With a joy to it that you and I do not take when we say fire everybody.
So for me, it takes a lot to pull the pin on that. And at the time that I pulled the pin is basically the same time you're saying.
Right.
It would have been in between the New England loss. It would have been after the New England loss.
Right.
19-3 at home to New England. Everything's falling apart. Ryan Poles doesn't want to play the hypothetical game, but I do. I think that was the time to do it, and it would have made a difference. It at least.
Who would have been your head coach, Jason? Who would have been your offensive coordinator? Do you fire Shane Waldron at the same time?
Yeah. Eberflus and Waldron out the door. Somebody, probably a very experienced position coach, takes over.
John Hoke or something.
Like a John Hoke or maybe even a Dave Borgonzi or somebody like that. Whoever seems most capable among your position coaches. Thomas Brown runs the offense. Eric Washington can keep running the defense. Richard Hightower can keep running special teams.
and you see where that can take you. I don't know that that would have been the best thing in the long term. I don't know, but I think it was the right thing in the short term as far as trying to change this season. After Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren talk, Pat, Thomas Brown comes in, and he's in his first appearance as Bears head coach. He will coach his first game as Bears interim head coach Sunday against the 49ers. Well, let's start here, actually, before we talk a little bit more about Thomas Brown. Just right off the bat, going into the season, when I thought the Bears were going to be good, I definitely had this one down for a loss nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe not, I guess. The 49ers are 5-7 and reeling, and Christian McCaffrey might be out. It's not easy to go across to the West Coast for a game like this, and the 49ers are not a joke. Even if they're 5-7, they are still well run, well coached, and talented, and have a quarterback. But Thomas Brown has a shot, and one of the reasons why he or any interim coach would have a shot is the players are energized by management saying, "We hear you. We are done with this problem too. Matt Eberflus is out. We're not gonna make you guys keep working under this guy's direction every day for this week and on the games." And you replace him with — this is the argument maybe for not replacing him if you're still trying to do anything this season or want to see, you know, just want to be competitive, mm-hmm. just want to compete and try to win, whether it gets you into, you know, forget about the playoffs, you just want to win every week because that's who you are. Thomas Brown, not only very competent and capable and has a good resume, but great personality.
Good
name. I could see why the players would love him.
Yeah, he came out today and hit all the right notes. You know, started off with, you know, I had a meeting with the guys. You know, I told them no more divisions. He later said, you know, divisions come when you're losing. And, you know, the best way to avoid those is A, don't listen to anybody outside this building, and B, win games. He, you know, told stories about — he actually went home to see his family this weekend because he hadn't seen his kids in a couple months.
Bears had a planned weekend off for staff and players.
Right.
Long planned in advance so that they could do that.
Yeah.
This past weekend.
So he said he went home and tried to relax, and that probably didn't work very well. Talked about the violent line. He uses this again, is that football is a violent game that rewards those who play violently. I think there's a segment of the Bears population that probably want to put that on a T-shirt. And he talked about, you know, discipline. He talked about pre-snap penalties, biting the Bears in the butt. He talked about actual penalties during the game, doing that. And, you know, he said, you know, when it came time to talk about the final play, he said, you know, we went through that in today's meeting. But also, like, there were plays leading up to that that hurt us too.
You said he hit all the right notes. I think that was a key note that he hit that resonated with me, will resonate with his bosses, resonate with Bears fans, is one of the issues with Matt Eberflus was this lack of accountability, this lack of being able to objectively size up his own errors. And Thomas Brown, unprompted, says, hey, paraphrasing, all these things you guys are mad about with Matt from the end of the game, I'm not exempt from you being mad at me about that. I was on the staff.
Right.
I was the offensive coordinator during that. Like, I've got culpability for that. Something that no one, Pat, nobody, as a room full of sharks today in that press room, no one would have asked him.
Right.
I don't think, hey, is that your fault too? Nobody would have put that on him. He took it unprompted.
I've never understood how it's hard. I mean, and I've told you this before. If I were named head coach tomorrow, the first thing I'd say is, I'm not going to get everything right. And when I get it wrong, I will not try and gaslight you into thinking that it wasn't me. And number two would be, any questions about a place kicker or a punter, I'm going to throw my hands in the air and go, freaking kickers, man. And, you know, and you can take that up with the coordinator. Right. That's
an interesting — I was with you on the first one. The second one might not go over great.
Yeah, but so Thomas Brown preemptively saying, hey, man, like we all got to get this right. It's not that different in tone than what Eberflus eventually started saying in the final couple of weeks of the season when somebody finally got in his ear and said, dude, just say I take full responsibility. That sounded hollow. What Thomas Brown said sounded authentic.
Because he had specifics.
Yeah.
He had concrete things that he could have managed better.
Yes. And he really does. He's a fun listen. And Jason, we don't have a whole lot going for us the rest of the season in terms of enjoyment of job, just given the stress level that's ratcheted up around here. But being able to interact with him and ask him questions and get well-thought-out answers back. That's going to, I mean, it's going to be good for our readers. It's going to be good for us, too, I think.
Good for us, good for the audience, good for the players, and probably will go over well with his bosses. Thomas Brown, not to me the top candidate for this job. I think they've got to go get the best.
Yep.
They tried so there's such a flaw here, and this would have been if we'd had more time with Ryan Poles. There was such a flaw here in this effort to do everything right as you bring Caleb Williams in, thinking he's changing everything, and you want to have everything in place for the guy, and you whiff right. on head coach and coordinator. A brutal error. They cannot repeat that error. They will have to spend, and they will have to find and pay for the best option, the best offensive-minded coach you can find.
Kevin Wharton, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And that guy is Ben Johnson.
Right.
And if it's not Ben Johnson, to me, next would be Cliff Kingsbury. Thomas Brown isn't in that category yet. Even though he's been a head coaching candidate before, he's not in that category yet. He could, however, he's off to a good start and could put himself right there on those guys' level competing for that job.
He has 5 weeks to answer the question that you need to find out about him is what's he like as a coach? If you get positive answers there and if he keeps getting better with Caleb Williams and they keep growing together, now all of a sudden you have a coordinator who has made Caleb Williams better and has shown you that he can make the leap. To turn to Ben Johnson, you're still going to have those questions the day you hire him. Hey, does this work with Caleb? Does this work, when he moves over one chair? You wouldn't with Thomas Brown, or at least you'd be a little more comfortable. Now, Kevin Warren says, Jason, this is the best job in the NFL, the best opening in the NFL. I don't believe that. I think Dallas Cowboys could come open. That's a pretty good job, too.
I think this is the best opening in the NFL if I didn't tell you what team it was for. If I just laid out all the positives of why you'd want to come in. The problem is it's the Bears.
Yeah.
And even with new people running the show, you have the episode that you had last Friday with the Zoom call and Matt Eberflus, and the rest of the league sees that. Mm-hmm. And everyone is looking at this like, boy, I don't, they might watch today's press conference and have questions. This was brought up in the press conference of Ryan Poles might not have a ton of job security beyond this upcoming year.
Right.
Unless he is turning things around. That 14-32 record that we talk about with Eberflus, we're not going to really be talking about that being Matt Eberflus' record anymore. We're going to be talking about that being Ryan Poles' record.
Yeah.
That's a concern. But one of the reasons Kevin Warren is right about that is the Bears have this cycle of they keep hiring bringing in the new coach and sticking them with the old quarterback. There's a lot of these new coach people that are going to be very, very happy to be stuck with the old quarterback this time. This is much, much, much different than Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. You can go back and find a bunch of dissenting opinions, including Matt Nagy's, mm-hmm. on whether or not Mitch Trubisky was the best quarterback in that class. You will see both by the players that were drafted ahead of him and other things that Justin Fields was not everybody's favorite quarterback in that draft. I don't believe anybody in the NFL that tells me they wouldn't have chosen Caleb Williams number one.
Yep.
I think every one of these guys that looked at any film of the quarterbacks in this class was sitting there marveling at what Caleb Williams did and what they could do with him. And Cliff Kingsbury knows that very well from being in close proximity at USC. I do not think there will be any objections. Quite the opposite, really. There will be enthusiasm. There will be coaches clawing to get past each other to get the chance to coach Caleb Williams. Matt Eberflus just fumbled away a dream opportunity that everyone else will want.
We'll see who takes his place, Jason. We'll be here all week and for the rest of the season to talk about it. Until then, you can follow Jason and myself on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website, Mark Potash as well. And if you live in Chicago, go ahead and buy a newspaper. What's your name again?
Jason Leisure.
He's Jason. I called you.
We were talking about Kevin Warren, but I'm not Kevin.
He is not Matt, nor Kevin, nor Ryan, nor George.
What if the new coach is named? Is there a Matt that they could hire?
Matt Patricia, legendary Lions coach.
Oh, no, a good one.
Like a real one? I don't know. We'll come
what
up
with
what
if we find out? And I don't know. I could look it up and find out, but I don't want to. I prefer not knowing in this situation. What if Ben Johnson's middle name is Matthew? And he actually has always wanted to go by that, and does go by that in his personal life. And when he gets here, he's like, I'm Matt Johnson.
Can you see George McCaskey get in the front of the room and be like, you know, we had the initials, or we had the name already stitched in the shirt. So, you know, we had to go find a Matt. Anyway, he is Jason, and I'm Pat. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again real soon.